What do you think of, what comes to mind when you think of the church? For me, I think of the green pews. I think of the green carpet. You know, I'm thinking of this room. I'm thinking of a building. But really, that's not what the church is. And I know this isn't like a new revelation. Like I just made a discovery in the church or something. But we all know this. We all know that the church is the people. But sometimes we act like we don't know it. Sometimes we treat it like a piece of Bible trivia, and we just throw it in the back of our minds and never touch it again, right? We don't build on it. We don't make application on it. So the question that I want to ask today is not what is the church, but who is the church? The first thing I'd like to point out about who consists of the church is that the church is a diverse people, right? When you look at the apostles that Jesus chose, he chose Peter, right? Peter is a fisherman. And then on the other end of the spectrum, he has Matthew, a tax collector. I mean, they're on completely other ends of the spectrum. They're diverse people. And then you have Saul. He's a terrorist. I mean, you have all these different types of people within the church. And Jesus brings them all together, right? He takes all these diverse peoples and he unifies them. This year, in LTC, over the past couple days, we learned all about the book of Acts. We learned about the Acts of the Apostles. And one of the things that we learned these past 3 days is in Acts 1:8 about the Great Commission. You know, how Jesus sent the apostles out to convert the world. And one of the things that he mentions is that he says that the apostles were to start in Jerusalem, and then they were to expand into Judea and Samaria. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, you know that the Jews are kind of racist. I mean, they don't like the Samaritans. They, like, absolutely hate them. They want nothing to do with them. So for Jesus to tell them to go up into Samaria to, you know, diversify the church, Jesus unites these two completely separate regions, and brings them together. And that is the nature of the church. The church unifies people. Flip with me to Acts 9, and starting in verse 1. Here's when Saul is persecuting the church. It starts starting in verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And, you know, when you read that, it's kind of weird, right? I mean, how is Jesus being persecuted? He's in heaven. You know, that's a scary thought. Can you persecute somebody in heaven? Well, the answer to this is that Paul was persecuting Jesus' body. And we can know this because if you go up two verses, right, when we read 9:2, it reads, "And asked letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, so that he found any of those who were of the way." So who's the way? Who's the only way to heaven? Jesus. And I mean, you probably could have guessed that because the way, as Mr. David pointed out this morning, the way is capitalized. So, you know, it points to Jesus. So, speaking on the topic of Jesus' body, that we are in Jesus' body, flip with me to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. It reads, For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in the fact that the body is not one member, but many, If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? So we see here that the church is united in the sense that it's all interconnected. You know, we're all one. You know, if you only had your feet, you can't run. So we're all interconnected. And head down to verse 25, where Paul says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. We see that there should be no schisms, right? There should be no split. But what some people try to do is they try to say that, well, there's multiple churches. You know, there's one on this corner, there's one on that corner. There's multiple churches. But we see here that the church is not multiple. It's united. It's not separate. It's not split. It's one church. Truly, there is only one church. It's right, the Church of Christ. And so we see that the church is not, the church is a diverse people. And it's a unified people, but also it is a saved people. Acts 2:47 reads, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. And then if you go to Ephesians 5:23, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. And then when you see in Isaiah 46:13, God is telling Isaiah, the prophet is saying that salvation is found in Zion. And what do you know? The Hebrew writers, they say that the Zion is the church. So we see this parallel that the church is where you find salvation. Now, what else is found in the church? Love. Love is found in the church. So we see that, you know, the church is diverse, is unified, it is a saved people, but it is also a caring people. We see a lot of love in the church. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 13, if you'll flip with me to 1 Corinthians 13, I would really let the Bible word this for me, because realistically, I mean, the Bible is going to articulate this better than I really ever would. It reads, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. And then down in verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. So the best thing that we can do right after reading a verse in the Bible is to make application. So, you know, we need to dig in our lives and see, are we loving how we should be loving? Are we loving our neighbor? If Jesus has a lot to say about this in Matthew 5:46. See, if you flip with me to Matthew 5:46. Matthew 5:46. It reads, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? To wrap up, we see that the church is not a physical house, but a spiritual house. It is a diverse people. It is a united people. It is a saved people, and it is a caring people.